Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Changing Direction with Michelle Rosenthal is sponsored by Timberline Knolls Residential Treatment Center. Want to change who you are and how you live? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Changing Direction with me, Michelle Rosenthal, where every show is all about how you can create the change you choose. On every episode, we combine scientific research, cutting-edge guests, and personal stories that highlight the challenges and successes of deliberately deciding to change the direction of your life. Now, let's start making your change possible.
Hey, good afternoon, and welcome to Changing Direction, your source for how to heal trauma and post-traumatic stress disorder. I am your host, Michelle Rosenthal, post-trauma coach and the founder of HealMyPTSD.com, the place where survivors, caregivers, and healing professionals go for information, cutting-edge research, and ideas for how to feel better and reclaim your life after trauma. And of course, you know, I am also a trauma and PTSD survivor. I lost almost 30 full years of my life to post-traumatic stress disorder. And when I came out the other side of my recovery and I looked back and I thought, oh my gosh, if I had just known all of this so much earlier, I might have healed, oh, I don't know, 2 decades ago. So my goal now is to always be giving you information designed to help you move forward, designed to help you identify the pitfalls, the obstacles, the fears, the things that hold you back, and also the things that will help you move forward. Because while, you know, maybe we can't escape PTSD, but we can escape a lifetime of PTSD. And that is where I love to focus. So there are plenty of voices out there saying, oh, it can't be healed, or you can only heal it in this one particular way. The truth is, it can be healed, and it can be done in several different ways. So the real goal, and one of the things that I want to talk about today in today's show, is what it means to find your way, to identify what's important to you, what's your particular experience. And in identifying what's important and particular to you, putting together a recovery process that honors that, that respects that. I received an email this morning from a woman saying to me, I bought your new book, Your Life After Trauma, and I sat down to read it, and I'll be honest with you, I feel completely overwhelmed, so I need to take it slowly. And I loved hearing that, and I wrote her right back, that's exactly it. We are all supposed to do this in a way that feels right to us, in a way that feels comfortable and good. So the more often you hear or see or read or someone tells you about something that helps, and then you check in with yourself. How does that feel to me? What does this mean to me? Does this resonate with me? Do I feel like I can manage it this way? You are the expert in you. And it's that one thing that you need to remember. So while it's great to have a support team and it's great to have professionals and peers helping you, you always have to be checking in with yourself. And this is actually an important part of the recovery process. Checking in with yourself and saying, I hear what everybody's telling me to do. How does that feel to me? Does that seem like something I can handle? And if not, then asking yourself, what can I handle? And doing what you can handle and building up to the bigger thing that seemed overwhelming or too difficult. So today's show, like every show, is about another piece in the puzzle and another idea for what perhaps you could handle right now and what would help you move one step further along. This is National Eating Disorders Awareness Week, and this is a topic very close to my heart because I struggled for so long with an eating disorder, which I will share with you in a little bit, without even understanding why. It just sort of popped up and it became this part of how I coped. But of course, I didn't know I had post-traumatic stress disorder, so I didn't know I was coping. So there's a lot around eating disorders and post-traumatic stress and trauma that all goes together. And today, I have with me two fantastic guests from the National Eating Disorders Awareness, they're working on the awareness campaign, but they are with the National Eating Disorders Association. And what we're going to do is really define the link between PTSD and eating disorders and also talk about where do you go from there if you think you might have an issue. These two fantastic women are going to set us straight on what are the next steps. So let me introduce you now to my two guests. They're both named Lauren, so you're going to have to listen and get the difference between their voices. Lauren Smolar is the helpline manager at the National Eating Disorders Association, and Lauren Losey is the navigator program manager. So Lauren and Lauren, welcome to Changing Direction Radio.
Thanks, Michelle.
So first, I just want to congratulate you. You have reached hump day on National Eating Disorders Awareness Week. How's it feeling?
It's great. It's been wonderful so far.
It's a lot, I'm sure, to sort of juggle, and there are so many things. I was looking at your Twitter stream and the NIDA hashtag, and there are so many wonderful things being shared to raise awareness. And that's really where I want to start our conversation, because I want to lay the stage for why this is so important. Number one, because we don't often realize that we have an eating disorder. A lot of the campaign has been, you know, bringing to light, for example, athletes who end up with an eating disorder. You think exercise is great, and then it goes someplace that you didn't intend. And I know in the PTSD community and the trauma community, we don't even realize that our distorted eating behaviors are a problem. So let me set the stage, if we will, just for a second. I have some great statistics, the link between post-traumatic stress disorder and eating disorders. And there's a lot of evidence-based research. For example, 66% of all eating disordered patients have trauma in their history. Research suggests that trauma alone is a strong predictor for eating disordered behavior. And studies confirm that PTSD itself is a risk factor for eating disorders. And I get that, because for trauma and PTSD, we spend so much of our time trying to feel safe and in control. And eating is a very survival-oriented behavior to begin with, and it is a way that we can safely control at least our body and our interaction with our body. So it makes sense to me that we would sort of go into a coping mechanism that isn't exactly healthy. So I wanted to talk to you both. Let's start. We're going to move into symptoms that people will experience, but I think let's start with, there are three main types of eating disorders. So let's start with a good basic definition of what they are. I will leave it open to either of you, Lauren or Lauren, to fill us in on what are the three basic eating disorders.
Sure. Well, this is Lauren Smolar. So the three most, I guess, basic, if you want to call that, the most commonly recognized eating disorders are anorexia nervosa, bulimia nervosa, and binge eating disorder. And those have behaviors that are both similar and different that categorize each of the behaviors, really to determine which one might be the diagnosis that somebody would have, they would need to see a professional for an evaluation. But all of them can deal with different issues of fear of weight gain, binge eating, purging with different mechanisms to eliminate food, restricting, any kind of obsession with weight or weight loss. All of those are kind of warning signs of eating disorders, and they may fall into one of those categories.
All right, perfect. That was so bottom line and concise. Thank you. And in my own PTSD and trauma experience, it started out just, and I ended up with struggling with anorexia for over 20 years, but it started out as just a basic way to feel safe in my body, that I knew if I controlled what I took into my body, I could hopefully control what my body did, everything from weight to allergic reactions. And so at first it seemed really safe, and it sounds smart. And then the next thing I knew, I had dropped all this weight, and it became a competition with myself. Could I lose more? Could I keep up this extreme behavior? And it sort of went around and around. And so I ended up with a lot of symptoms that, you know, friends and family could see, but nobody really knew how to reach me because I was so dedicated to my behaviors. And so I wanted to sort of lay out in our conversation what symptoms might a survivor be experiencing if they have an eating disorder, and also what symptoms might people see from the outside that would clue them into somebody else having a little problem?
It's a great question. Some of the symptoms that I described before can be warning signs if people are actually observing those, but a lot of eating disorders are very hidden. People, part of the nature of the eating disorders is to make them kind of secretive. So if somebody's seeing rapid weight gain or weight loss, that might be a sign of concern of some sort. If somebody's seeing that somebody's just reacting differently to food than they used to be, maybe they're more focused on what they're eating or when they're eating or how much they're eating. Those are all kind of warning signs initially that something might be up, whether it be from that person recognizing it in themselves or somebody who's observing it in a friend or a loved one of some sort. So all of those are really going to be warning signs. Really anything that's not going to fit right, that if there's some concern in general about somebody's food habits changing, because everyone has different food habits, but if you notice something that's pretty drastic or even subtle that's changed that's really concerning over time, it's good to go with your gut and really reach out and see if there's anything wrong.
Michelle, this is Lauren Losey. I think a lot of times you can either see it in loved ones or yourself if you're starting to become more preoccupied with the foods that you're choosing and consuming. And that can also go into your exercise habits. And a lot of times people will notice that they begin to isolate and not talk to other loved ones. They don't enjoy things that they used to because the eating disorder is taking up more and more of their time and energy.
You know, Lauren Losey, those are great points, the preoccupation with the food choices and the exercise, especially the isolation and the withdrawal from activities that were previously pleasant or pleasurable or enjoyable. Those particular things, isolation and withdrawal, are so common in the trauma and PTSD experience that I think it's very easy for them to be interwoven with an eating disorder, and then before you know it, you're hiding everything from your crazy mental state mood swings, and I use the word crazy lovingly because I thought I really was insane, and hiding also your behaviors. You've both sort of hit on the idea of being secretive. Talk to me more about that. How does that work, and what's its function in the eating disordered mindset?
I think a lot of it revolves around fear, shame. They're afraid, you know, is what they're doing normal? What will other people think? There's fear of the unknown. And maybe the eating disorder behaviors are serving a function. They're helping, you know, provide a calming emotion. And then there's also fear that if those are taken away, what are you going to be able to do? So I think that could factor into some of the emotions around it.
I think that's spot on. You know, it's interesting because long before we knew that I had post-traumatic stress disorder, it was very obvious to everyone that I had an eating disorder. And so I was in my late teens and early 20s, and my parents kept dragging me from one eating disordered specialist to another, and I would go kicking and screaming because I didn't want to have to talk about anything. And the therapist would all say to me, well, you have a body image issue. And I would say to them, no, I really don't. I don't care what this body looks like. I really am not obsessed with my body at all. And I really meant that. I wasn't obsessed with it from their perspective. But none of them ever said to me what you just said, Lauren Smolar, that the behaviors are serving a function. That is really critical to understand, isn't it? So that you honor and acknowledge the need for the behavior, and by doing that, then can sort of start figuring out, well, what else could I do in a healthy way that would give me the same outcome? Would you say that that's correct?
Yeah, I think that's pretty spot on. And we know that the fear is something that a lot of people resonate with when we're talking to them in our different programs, that that's one of the main barriers to seeking help, is that people are really afraid of, you know, this is what's been working with for me for so long to figure out whatever issues I have, and there is a large amount of fear in having to overcome that and work towards healthy alternatives.
My guests today are Lauren Smolar, the Helpline Manager, and Lauren Losey, the Navigator Program Manager for the National Eating Disorder Association. You can find them online at nationaleatingdisorder.org. And you just led us into exactly where I wanted to go. This idea of fear, shame, and embarrassment often stops people from reaching out for help. So how do you suggest this be overcome?
Well, one of the things that we have as part of the National Eating Disorders Association, which is what I manage, is the helpline. And that's a place where it's really a first place that people can reach out often before they're ready to really talk to anyone else about the issues. And they can really talk to trained volunteers about what's going on with them, really hear, you know, and validate the concerns that they have and discuss what options they have to get help. It's really a place where they can be connected with help or talk about what their fears are and see kind of what's even available for them to get started with next steps.
I think also, as you were saying that, so much of, I know in the trauma and PTSD world, we deal with so many symptoms that are related to avoidance, and that's a hallmark of post-traumatic stress disorder, and hypervigilance, this feeling that we're not ever safe, and so we're always on guard looking for the next threat, and re-experiencing in terms of intrusive thoughts, nightmares, flashbacks. We're managing so many things. And I think that reaching out for help through the fog of all of that can be so difficult, especially if you feel you're going to be criticized by other people. And so what do you see when people call you, when they engage in the live chat or they email the National Eating Disorders site? What do you see in terms of helping them feel comfortable to be confidential, anonymous, unjudged?
Right. Well, one of the things that we take really seriously is that this is a confidential place. So people are not, you know, there's no risk of someone telling your story until they're ready. And this is a place where everyone's free of judgment. You know, a lot of the people that are volunteering have either experienced an eating disorder themselves or have loved ones who have experienced an eating disorder, or we all have training, so we're all coming from a place of compassion and really a place where people can know that they're not going to be judged. These are not people that are going to have preconceived notions about what they're going through. They're really there to listen and to talk to them about what they can do.
I love that, because what you're really saying is what I was talking about at the beginning of this show, which is the need to really check in with yourself and see what you need and then create a healing process that resonates with your individual and unique experience. How possible is it to do that in healing an eating disorder? Is there one set way of healing, or are there options?
There's definitely options. One thing that I think Lauren Losey does as well, and she can talk a little bit more about that with the Navigator program, is really giving that personal attention and discussing how many different options there are.
Yeah, I think it really depends where you are on the road to recovery and what type of support you need. For some people, they will need a full treatment team. And for others who are further down the road, maybe they'll just need a therapist. But there are many more options than that, depending on personal preference, what works for you, what works for your family. A lot of times people will find group therapy to be supportive, joining support groups, talking to other people online. All of it can really help, but we can't really promote one treatment philosophy over another because eating disorders are so unique.
And I'm so like glad that you said that. Go ahead, Lauren.
Since there are so many options, that's part of actually what the helpline is about, is allowing somebody who really has no idea where to get started is to reach out, you know, like we talked about, discussing their concerns and then seeing how many options there are and working towards figuring out what's going to really work for them, because it can be really overwhelming that there are so many different options and there are so many different combinations of treatment that are available to different people in different areas.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren, this would be a really good time to share the number for the helpline. Would you go ahead?
Sure, 800-931-2237. And we're open 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time Monday through Thursday and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Fridays.
Perfect. So the number again is 800-931-2237. So, Lauren Losey, now, if someone were to call the helpline, they talk to Lauren Smolar and her team, they give an idea of some next steps. Is that what would happen, Lauren Smolar? You call and you get some direction in terms of what to do next?
Right. It's really a discussion to talk to the person about where they're coming from and what they feel comfortable with for their next steps. That's right.
Perfect. And then Lauren Losey, they can come to the Navigator program, and that's really all about peer-to-peer support. So tell us about that and how it works and why you feel it's so valuable in the process.
Yeah, that's correct. NIDA has a fantastic program that kind of takes off where the helpline ends. The Navigator program essentially connects individuals who have been through an eating disorder and recovered, or parents, family, friends, and other loved ones who have also helped care for somebody who is now in recovery with individuals who are struggling or caring for somebody. And at that point, they can help kind of root through all of this information, talk to people, let them know that they're not alone, explain things they don't understand, help them figure out where to go next. Do they want to call some of these treatment providers? Do they want to look for a support group? Do they need advice talking to their loved ones and figuring out what to do? And the navigators can help with that. And I think one of the biggest things they can also do is just emphasize that when you're struggling with an eating disorder or caring for somebody who is, you're not alone. And there's always hope, and these people have been there and worked through all of the difficult times, and they can help remind you that it's possible.
It is indeed possible. And I say that coming from a place of such extreme anguish in my own battle with anorexia, and now on the other side where I've maintained a healthy weight and feel very comfortable in my body for so many years. And the difference between always being anxious around meal situations and trying to secretly push my food around the plate so nobody noticed I wasn't really eating it, and to now being able to go out and just enjoy a meal is just the difference between night and day. We only have a few minutes left, and I wanted to wrap up our conversation by asking you both, if someone were listening right now, either from the survivor perspective or from someone who loves a survivor, saying, okay, well, what do I do first? What would you suggest as a first step for people who think there may be a problem and they just need someone to say, okay, do this right now? What would your answers be?
Sure. I think one of the things that people often do right before contacting the helpline is they visit our website, and we actually have a screening available there on the left side, and they take the screening. And the screening doesn't tell them what their diagnosis is, but it does tell them whether or not there are concerns and validates whether or not they have concerns. And it's a screening by the Screening for Mental Health that partnered with us to produce an eating disorder screening where they can answer those questions about their behaviors. And at the end of the screening, it's telling them whether or not they should be seeking help. And a lot of times people will do that right before reaching out for help. It's a really good way for them to validate whether or not their concerns are really something to be concerned about and what kind of help they should seek.
Other than that, I would say learn as much as you can. Reach out and talk to somebody. It can't hurt. If anything, you'll end up learning more and be able to help the people around you.
And we should say, too, that the screening can be found at nationaleatingdisorders.org, nationaleatingdisorders.org online. I've looked at it. It's a terrific tool. Lauren Smolar and Lauren Losey, I want to thank you both so much for spending some time with me today, helping me help you, help everybody raise awareness for eating disorders and the link between trauma and PTSD, eating disorders, and most importantly, healing. So thank you so much for your insights and for the work that you do every day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck with the rest of the week.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Okay, so there you go. You have so many options as a trauma survivor in terms of where to focus your healing. And partly that those choices come down to figuring out, what do I know right now? What do I feel is a problem right now? What am I noticing right now? What am I struggling with most right now? I'll be honest with you, I knew for a long time before I admitted there was a problem that I had a serious eating issue. And that was, you know, just really tied to, I needed to feel safe. And that was what I did. And so I did. I hid it. I denied it when people said that they thought I had a problem, until I got into trauma recovery and PTSD recovery specifically. And the more I healed and resolved the trauma, the more the eating disorder itself became less and less necessary. So when you are overcoming either trauma or PTSD, the goal was to figure out, what's the next step for me? What do I do here? What do I really need in this one moment? Keep it small. Keep your focus down to the moment you're in. And little by little, you will add up moments that lead to recovery success. So as we go into the last few moments of the program, remember that you can join the free Heal My PTSD forum on healthunlocked.com/HealMyPTSD. We talk about everything in there, including eating disorders. So you can join us there at healthunlocked.com/HealMyPTSD. And you are now getting ready for the healing thought of the day, which is excerpted from my new book from W.W. Norton. The book is called Your Life After Trauma, Powerful Practices to Reclaim Your Identity. It comes out on March 16th. You can already get a copy right now, though, at yourlifeaftertraumabook.com. And the healing thought is this: you already possess a long history of your identity changing and expanding. Since you were a tiny person, who you are and how you define yourself have morphed depending on what you have thought, how you have felt, and what you have experienced. You can use your past ability to change in your trauma recovery process for going forward today. Hang on to that. It means change is always possible, which, in fact, it is, because you have enormous healing potential. The goal is learning to access it. You can do this. Dig deep. I believe in you.
You can conquer the past and create your future.
For more information about Changing Direction Radio and to listen to our free archives and podcasts, visit changeyouchoose.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.